I love the simplicity of Jesus' declaration, I am the bread of life.
Pastor Brett Metter and the only true source of nourishment for our souls, able to satisfy our deepest hunger with lasting fulfillment.
We think we're hungry for delight. We think we're hungry for satisfaction or, you know, pleasure. But if you've been alive long enough, you know those things won't fill you. But Jesus says, don't you understand? If you eat the bread that I give you, you'll not be hungry anymore.
We know God is the creator of all heaven and earth. But coming up, Pastor Brett Metter takes us to Scripture to learn that there's much more we can know about who God is, as revealed by the very words of Jesus. I am the light of the world, I am the door, and I am the bread of life are but just a few statements we'll look at in this special edition of Today's Word. And we're so pleased you're joining us today as we're going to feature highlights from the PDX Crusade, which was held at the Moda Center in Portland, Oregon, August 2nd and 3rd. Pastor Brett Metter is joining me now. Brett, this two-day crusade featured several music artists like Kane, Taya, Carrie and Cody Carnes, Ann Wilson, Zach Williams, and Chris Tomlin.
Yeah.
So as many people have heard, Portland is one of the least church cities in the United States, yet you chose to hold the crusade in Portland's largest indoor arena. Can you share a little bit about it and how it went?
Absolutely, Kurt. It was an amazing blessing to all of us. We had high expectations just because the Lord is so good and He always shows up, but it really just kind of blew our minds when we saw just the byproducts that we weren't even counting on. Just the joy, the amount of Christians that are in Portland. Sometimes when you live in Portland, you feel like an endangered species as a Christian, you know, to walk the streets of Portland, you don't get a real friendly vibe. But when you see over the weekend, 35,000 believers come together, rejoicing, singing, and then a lot of them bringing their unsaved friends, and then their unsaved friends seeing just a joyful heart. And really, it's hard to even quantify how the Holy Spirit just filled that arena. And you could feel it. It was palpable. And when Chris Tomlin got out there and started leading some of the old songs that we all know and love, I think that alone was a testimony of just how good God is. And I think that was the overwhelming feel, is just the goodness of God and right in the center of a city that has really lacked that. So it way bypassed all of our expectations. It was amazing.
Well, Brett, the message we're going to hear today was from the Sunday night event in which you shared Jesus's I am statements, right?
Yeah, those I am statements are such a giant revelation in Scripture. And I think there's a lot of people that they think they know who God is. And it's been a narrative that has been stolen, I think, by the enemy himself to sort of create God as this angry and disgruntled God who is just put up with mankind. But when you really read the Bible carefully, God reveals himself to Moses as the I am. And then the rest of the Bible fills in the blank, you know, you are what? And then when Jesus came, God in the flesh, he said, I am the light of the world. I am the true vine. I am the door of the sheepfold. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. Like all these I am statements of Christ, I just felt like that would be a great opportunity to just reveal to people who have a preconceived idea of who God is. I thought the I am statements of Christ, it so perfectly summarizes who God really is as seen perfectly through Jesus. And that was really our focus. Who is Jesus? Which really reveals who God is and how he thinks about us.
Thank you, Brett. Well, why don't we get things started? This is from the 2025 PDX Crusade at the Moda Center in Portland, Oregon on August 3rd, with over 15,000 in attendance on the final night. Here's Pastor Brett Metter.
Oh, man. The Holy Spirit is in this place. Yes. We just sang, how great is our God. But one of the things about that, some people have noticed, they think, well, God might be great, but he's kind of scary. Do we know who God really is? Do we understand who God is? You know, I think a lot of times we think, you know, well, man was created in God's image, but sometimes man tries to superimpose our image upon him, which is not always the right one.
Who is God? I remember the story of a little boy who had a key role in the Christmas play at his church. And little Billy, he only had one simple little line to remember. His line was, "I am the light of the world." That's all he had to say right there. "I am the light of the world." Well, that night of the Christmas play, everybody was there, his mother and father sitting in the front row, all excited to see their little five-year-old Billy, you know, give his one line in the program. But the moment came, little Billy was supposed to say, "I am the light of the world." But poor little guy, he was kind of freaked out by the crowd and the lights. And so he was kind of stumbling and fumbling, and his mom was in the front row and she knew he was in trouble. So she said, "Billy, I am the light of the world." And so Billy stammered and said, "My mommy's the light of the world." Who is the light of the world? What is God? God is light. The Bible says in him is no darkness at all. Can God be known? Some people might say no. And when a non-believer or a person who's not really familiar with God's word, they might say, "How can you Christians think you know God?" Well, the answer is really quite simple. God can be known. And it really goes back to an Old Testament story. There in the book of Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 through 14, God, you know, sent Moses to free the children of Israel from Egypt. And Moses was a little nervous about the whole thing. And Moses said, "Who am I that I should go and talk to this king of all of Egypt, Pharaoh?" And God said, "Who am I? I will be with you, Moses." And Moses asked God, "When I come to the children of Israel, you know, and I say, 'The God of your father sent me to deliver you from slavery there in Egypt,' who do I tell them sent me?" And so there, God answers Moses, and it's found there in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And it says there in Exodus 3, 14, "And God said to Moses, 'I am that I am.'" He's called the great I am. In fact, when God says this, you kind of think, what does this mean? God telling Moses, "I am that I am." You might hear Moses thinking, "You are what? I'm confused. I know less about you now than when you told me your name." But this is the whole thing about the Bible. This is very early in the Bible, the book of Exodus. And this really tells us, God says, "I am that I am." And this is exactly what Moses needed to hear, because the rest of the Bible will see that blank filled in. I am whatever it is that you really need. I am the solution to all your problems. In fact, it gets even more crystal clear when you realize that God revealed the great I am when he chose to become a man. God became a man and lived among us. That's what the Bible teaches us. In fact, we are told there in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said there to the disciples, especially when he was talking to Philip. Philip actually came up and said, "Hey, Jesus, show us the Father. We want to know the Father, and it'll suffice us." But Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, 'Show us the Father'?" Jesus says, "Don't you understand? If you've seen me, you've seen God the Father." In fact, that's why when the angel came and revealed to Joseph that Jesus was going to come, the Messiah for the Jews, Jesus. That's why the angel revealed, and then Matthew reiterated and said, this is what the prophets were speaking of there in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Do you realize? If you want to know who God is, you look no further than Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God in the flesh, Emmanuel. That's why he's given that name. So who is God as revealed by Jesus? Well, when you look to the life of Jesus, Jesus fills in all those blanks. In fact, Jesus, when he would speak, he would use that phrase, "I am," the same phrase that God spoke to Moses that day. And Jesus would explain, here's who God really is. And he gave those statements about himself. Seven statements that Jesus gave about who God is. Who is Jesus Christ? He's the great I am that was talked about there in Exodus. The first one that Jesus iterated there was in John chapter 6, there in verse 35. It says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. I love the simplicity of Jesus' declaration. I am the bread of life. It doesn't matter what era of the history you lived in, whether you were a person living back in the, you know, the time of Jesus or living today. We all know what bread is. It's very simple. Bread, the sustenance of life, food and nourishment. Do you understand humanity is starving right now? Do you realize Portland, the city of Portland, the greater city, they're hungry. People want to be satisfied. People want to have that hunger in their heart. But Jesus says, don't you understand? If you eat the bread that I give you, you'll not be hungry anymore. There's a spiritual bread. People don't understand. Man's need for filling is satisfied through Jesus, the bread of life. We think we're hungry for delight. We think we're hungry for satisfaction. But if you've been alive long enough, you know those things won't fill you. You'll still be hungry. In fact, when you feed, the Bible calls it your flesh, whether it's the alcohol or drugs or sexuality that's outside of God's plan for us, it's an amazing thing when God says, I want to feed you, I want to satisfy you, but we say, no, we're going to keep going to those same foods that are not really satisfying. In fact, when you feed your soul full of those worldly things, it only makes you hungrier. You get a craving for more, but it doesn't ever satisfy. The second I am statement that Jesus made was this. John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, then spake Jesus again to them and said unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Portland's considered one of the darkest cities in America. In fact, if you bring up Portland around the world today, people say, oh, you're from Portland? Oh, I'm so sorry. Why do they say that? Well, you know, Portland's the city, we've got more human trafficking in this city than any other city in America. The drug problem in Portland, when we started legalizing drugs, now we see all these people's lives that are in ruin and shattered. It's sad to see that Portland's one of the most unchurched cities in America. Now, I believe that the Lord's doing a great work here in Portland, and it's evidenced even here tonight. The Lord's doing a great work. What an answer to prayer. I love this. But we have more work to do, and that's why it's important for us to declare that Jesus is, in fact, the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Jesus also said this in John chapter 12, verse 46. I have come into the world as light, so that whosoever believes in me will not remain in darkness. So the second declaration that Jesus made was not only number one, I'm the bread of life, number one. Number two, I am the light of the world. Are you tired of living in darkness? You know, it's something your eyes start to get used to it. You start thinking, oh, I'm used to the darkness. But then when you see the true light of life, which is Jesus, you know, it's interesting because, again, people look to false light. Did you know there's such thing as a false light? And it's meant to lure you from the true light. Some people, that next drink, oh, that's the light that I need. For some, it's more medication or more drugs. For some of you, it's shop till you drop. For some of you, it's McDonald's and Taco Bell. Oh, that's the light. Go to the light. Binge watching your favorite TV show. Oh, that'll make me feel a lot more light. But these things sometimes appear as light, but they are false lights. In fact, I think those false lights are there to lure you away from the true light. I love to scuba dive. My wife and I, we have done some diving all around the world. But I'm glad we can't go to some of the deepest parts of the ocean. The deepest dive I've ever done is 150 feet. But if you take a submarine dive, you can go 2 miles down. And when you get that deep in the ocean, there's a fish, National Geographic called the other worldly terrors, look nothing as bad as the fish that you find down in the depths of the ocean. It's completely pitch black there. And everything about this fish, they're called the angler fish. Have you guys seen a picture of an angler fish? Those of you who have watched Finding Nemo, you know exactly what this fish does. the little jiggly bob thing out on the front there that's a little light bulb. All the innocent little fish see the light, and they're drawn to the light. But just as they come to the only little light bulb they see with their little fish eyes, those razor sharp teeth are there to chomp down the unsuspecting little Nemo fish. You say, Brett, what does that have to do with anything? Do you know that's what the Bible says about Satan himself? It's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. It says, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Some of you have lived your life and you've gone from one false light to another false light. And you wonder, man, why do I keep repeating the same problems? And why do I don't sense that I have the light of life, but I still feel in darkness? You might say, Brett, it's easier said than done to drop your addictions and go to the light. But the problem is, many people, they go from one false light to the other. How do you solve that problem? Well, it's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter puts it this way. He says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Did you see what was just said there? Out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it goes on, it says, once you were not a people, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. Who are these people Peter's talking about? He's talking about people that figured it out. If you want to get out of the false lights, the things that claim they'll satisfy you, the things that promise they'll make you feel better, but they don't, you've got to get out of that, but you've got to get into his marvelous light. That's the main thing of this statement. This is what everyone on this planet needs. You're called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Then Jesus, yes, amen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, then he says something even more interesting. He says, then he says, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Well, Brett, I'm confused. Wait, is Jesus the light or are we the light? Which one is it? Well, the answer is the source of the light is Jesus. But once you get out of darkness into his marvelous light and you accept Christ, when you accept what Jesus wants to give you, the light, he's the bread, he's the light, and when you accept that, guess what? You start reflecting that light. I think some of you are here because one of your friends asked you to come to a crusade. You're like, what's a crusade? That sounds weird. But you just knew your friend, maybe he's a nice person and you like hanging out with them and they invited you, and it's because you sense they have something that's light in them. They're not perfect, but they do have light. What we want to do is reflect the light of Jesus Christ. How can you be a light in a dark place like Portland? You got to plug into the light, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Man, I'm so thankful for, yes. I'm so thankful for the lights that are in this room, people that are just shining Jesus Christ. But if you're a Christian here and you're kind of afraid to show the light of Christ, I remember, it reminds me of a story of a Midwestern town, sleepy little town during the Great Depression. And there was train tracks that went right through this little, you know, one crosswalk like town. It was a little tiny town. Didn't have any lights for train crossing. So they had to hire one of the old townspeople to sit on a chair at nighttime, all night long. It was his job. He had a lantern and he sat in a chair. But when a train was coming, he'd pick up his lit lantern and he'd walk to the middle of the road and just start holding it up like this. So if a car was coming, they'd know, oh, you don't want to cross the tracks, there's a train coming. One night he heard a train coming, then he saw the car coming at the same time and he jumped up quickly and he said, oh, I got a signal. And so he grabbed his lantern and started waving it like this. But the car just kept on coming and the train was coming. And so he thought, oh no, this car's not seeing me. So he waved even more fiercely, but the car never stopped and crossed the tracks when the train was coming through, and the car was crushed instantly. The old man couldn't understand why the car didn't stop. The police came and were investigating what happened. The man had a working lamp. It had oil in it. He'd even trimmed the wick perfectly, but he forgot to light the wick. He never lit the wick, and thus he was waving just a dark lantern. I think you have well-meaning friends that don't have the true light of the world. They'll try to help you. Oh, be of good cheer. It's going to be okay. You're a good person. Everything's awesome. But that's just waving the false light. You need to let your light so shine. And where do we get that light? It's the light of Jesus Christ that is the true light. So Jesus, I am the bread of life, he said, number one. I am the light of the world, number two. But then in John chapter 10, Jesus brings the third I am statement. It says in John chapter 10, verse 7, so Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out to find pasture. You know, so far, we've had some pretty simple little illustrations. Bread, light, and now a door. I mean, this is really simple stuff. But in Bible times, what was the door of the sheepfold? Well, in Bible times, they would, at nighttime, bring the flocks in from the field. And this is actually in the Bible lands of Israel, this picture of this door that Jesus is referring to. Jesus said, I am the door. What's that all about? Well, this is a picture that I have from a sheepfold. And at night, the shepherd would, you know, herd the flock into this little safety zone to keep away from the thieves and robbers, the wolves. But then the shepherd would become the door. He would sit in that gap and he'd be the protection for the sheep. Sheep are not so smart. They're dumb. They don't know how to defend themselves. In fact, there's documented records of a sheep being killed by a squirrel. Isn't it interesting that the Bible compares us to sheep? We need protection. Well, who do we need protection from? Well, the Bible tells us it's not a squirrel that we should be concerned about. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. There's an enemy that wants to mess you up, and he is the same one that disguises himself as an angel of light. So if you're a Christian, you want Jesus to be your door. He's your protection. He's the one that will keep you safe. But I want to tell you, Jesus, as the shepherd, he invites you to come into the sheepfold. And it's your choice whether you're going to come into that sheepfold. And if you're going to let Jesus be the door, he says, I am the door. But I want to tell you, that door is not going to always be open for you. The Lord is the one who, he's not going to force you to go in the door. He's a perfect gentleman. God doesn't cram it down your throat, but he lovingly invites you, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. He lovingly invites you.
You've been listening to Highlights of the PDX Crusade with Pastor Brett Metter. In a very well-received message he preached at the Moda Center in Portland, Oregon, back on August 3rd, here on Today's Word. And Pastor Brett is with me now. Brett, we mentioned that there were three free events, two on Saturday, and the Sunday Crusade. That's the one we're featuring today.
Yep.
What was it like to see all these people attend in a town that desperately needs Jesus?
Well, you know, I think it helped me and all the Christians in Portland to just rejoice at how many people were either there because they love the Lord or at least curious about the Lord. And I think we were overwhelmed with, you know, just the volume. When you see all those people in one place, it reminds me of Elijah the prophet when he thought, I alone am a prophet of the Lord, you know. But the Lord said, actually, Elijah, there's 7,000 that are actually not bowing the knee to Baal. And I think for a lot of us here in Portland, it was that moment where God's saying to us, see, there's so many people that love me and are following me. And I think we had that confirmed in our hearts. And I think it was really a giant relief for us to see, wow, there's a lot of fellow Christians here in our city.
Thank you, Brett. And we're going to feature more of this PDX Crusade on the next edition of Today's Word. In the meantime, if you'd like to find out more about Pastor Brett Metter or share how the Lord worked in your life or in the life of someone you know during the PDX Crusade, you can share your story at todayswordradio.com and click on the link PDX Crusade. Well, I hope you can be back again as we'll feature more highlights from last month's PDX Crusade. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.